Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Give it to you. You're worthy.
One teenage star plays at the Nintendo World Store in Manhattan, and over 100,000 people watch him on YouTube. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a debate over the merits of one of the most famous websites in the world, YouTube. And talking about videos, we will unveil the winner of our music video contest. And the band that gave us the song for the contest, the Fiery Furnaces, will tell us what they thought of our winning video, and they'll play live in our studio. But first, Justin Bieber is a 14-year-old Canadian singer and a YouTube star. He's just one example of thousands of musicians, politicians, including our own president, and formerly anonymous folks who've gained notoriety through the video-sharing website. Created in February of 2005 by three former PayPal employees, YouTube is now home to 20 hours of new video every minute. Some say it's democratic, fun, and artistic. Others argue it's ruining video production with low standards. So today we ask, is YouTube mesmerizing or mediocre? That's a question for another
Soundcheck Smackdown!
Defending YouTube is our old friend Rick Cordero. He's a music video and film director who's done two feature films and videos for Jay-Z, Nas, and John Legend, among others, and was, in fact, the judge of our music video contest. He's here in the studio. And on the anti-YouTube corner, we have Chris Albrecht, co-editor of the website NewTV.com. He joins us by phone from San Francisco. Welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Hi.
So, Chris, YouTube, mesmerizing or mediocre?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily fair to say that I'm anti-YouTube. I think YouTube has done a lot of really incredible things, but at the same time, because it's this open democratic platform, like anything that you open up, you know, if you open up the floodgates to everybody, then everybody's going to participate, and that's just going to lower the level of general quality that you see in video.
Rick, that seems like a really hard argument to counter. I mean, it's true. You open up the floodgates and things flood in.
Yeah, well, I think what it does is it levels the playing field, essentially. And because of that, you know, you really get to see artists really be creative and, you know, not just, you know, just kind of pass on the glossiness of high video production, you know, and it really becomes about the concepts and the... and the music.
Well, the term artist, I mean, I guess we can sort of throw this around a little bit. Chris, is one of the things that you're sort of sounding a cautionary note about, the idea that real art might get lost in this, you know, deluge of amateur videos?
Yeah, that's actually a problem that YouTube has had historically. It's just, you know, when you have 20 hours of video uploaded every minute, really, there are great and innovative people doing things on there, but unfortunately, they become hard to find amidst all the dogs on skateboards and cat videos, which I know is a cliche, but I mean, you can throw a cat up on video doing just about anything. I'm looking to turn my cat into a video star so we can start earning his keep.
Yeah, at some point, I just think, you know what? I get it. Kitties are cute. Let me get on with my life, please.
Right.
Rick, you can find good things on YouTube, and we asked you to find some for us.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this I am T-Pain thing, which is really essentially a commercial that people are watching, you know, by choice, not because it comes on between episodes of a show.
It's definitely not something that you would see on network television, but, you know, and it's basically this T-Pain app, you know, like an auto-tune app for your iPhone, and it's just about all these people singing a T-Pain song with their iPhone, and it's all spliced together.
And we should explain it, that auto-tune is this device that T-Pain and many other rappers and singers use now to change the sound of the voice to make it
sound computerized.
Pitch correct.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is this not on TV? It's too long to be a TV commercial.
Yeah, no, it's definitely just a viral video. But I think, you know, what that does is, I think what YouTube and any other kind of video content provider, is it just gives access to the fans for these artists that, you know, a label or, you know what I mean, or a major company wouldn't provide. So.
So we're pro or con debating YouTube, and here's the pro side. This this clip is called I Am T-Pain.
Hey, what's up, man? It's your homeboy T-Pain right here, showing you the brand new I Am T-Pain auto-tune app. Y'all know what this is, man. That'd be more entertainment. Please hit the app store. Holler my dogs at Smule. You know what I'm saying? It's going down. That'd be more entertainment. Smule hooking up auto-tune application. I Am T-Pain. Y'all already know what this is.
I'll let you, boy.
Show the snacks. Damn,
show the snacks. So as you watch this thing, it's like a whole bunch of people, just like ordinary people, singing the T-Pain song, Buy You a Drank, and they're singing it into their iPhones, which have this auto-tune app loaded onto it, and so they're all getting this kind of T-Pain computer vocal thing. And Rick Cordero gives that as an example of, you know, some of the creative things that have been made possible by YouTube that you wouldn't be able to see on television. But Chris Albrecht, when we asked you what was wrong with YouTube, you came back to us with Fred has vocal lessons. what is going on here?
Well, let me, a couple of things. First, can we auto-tune my voice for the rest of this interview? I think what Rick points out actually is both for and against YouTube, where T-Pain already has an audience. So it's easier, you know, YouTube I think is the second most popular search engine on the web right now. And so people who are looking for that kind of content that has a built-in fan base can certainly find it. And it does provide an artist like T-Pain to do something a little different that doesn't fit in the confines of television. But if you are just an independent creator, a kid, well, we'll get to Fred in just a second, who is able to build something on his own. But it's a lot harder. You're kind of at the whims of YouTube's promotional muscle in order for your content to get found. Now, let me tell you,
Hold on a second. It looks like Rick wants to jump in.
Yeah,
right?
Chris, I guess, you know, what you're saying is it's harder for somebody who doesn't have a name to, you know, to essentially start a career, you know, through YouTube videos, but that's exactly what happened to me, like, 3 years ago when I started posting videos of, you know, hip-hop underground artists, and then that caught the attention of guys like The Roots and Nas, you know, and Jay-Z, and then suddenly I was getting offered to do bigger videos, you know,
How did that happen? I mean, because it seems like what Chris is saying seems perfectly logical. Well, there's millions of things out there. How did they find you?
It comes down to good art, you know, and good art that's well marketed and bad art that's well marketed. But the clips that I was making was very, you know, it was trying to be creative, trying to be something different, but it was really using YouTube as just a portal, a vessel to express my ideas that I wouldn't get trying to send videos to MTV or BET, you know. And I guess
my question though is, how does somebody like Nas know to even look for you on YouTube?
You'd be surprised. I mean, that's what a lot of, you know, major label artists do now. You know, and they scour
just
the
trolling.
Internet. They're trying to find something different, something refreshing, because the label won't give them budgets to do these big videos.
All right, Chris, back to you.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things. That one, you know, I think it's great that you were able to launch a career. I was looking at your stuff before we came on air, and I think, you know, you've definitely got a great vision, and that's great that you've been able to find success. But YouTube from 3 years ago is a far cry from YouTube today. Right. I mean, it just keeps growing and growing just at this unstoppable pace, where it's just not even an 800-pound gorilla. It's like a 10-megaton gorilla in the room where, you know, everybody's going there. So it's definitely harder, I think, to find those gems. And I think that it's not necessarily against what you're saying, but more so anymore, instead of just putting things up on YouTube, I think people have this conception that you can just put something on YouTube and you'll get discovered. Mm-hmm. But it actually takes a lot of work, and that's why you need to use the social tools like Facebook and Twitter and really get out there and build a community using these free tools that are available to you online. And that's what, you know, as I've written about this over the past few years, one of the things as I've talked to different experts, where they're like, you know, only put your video up where you're going to spend time building a community. And that means getting out there, interacting with the fans, posting comments, letting people know how they can access you, where they can find you. So there's just not, it's not just putting stuff up on YouTube anymore.
Is that what our young friend Fred has done with his series of videos?
You know, I don't know what Fred has done. And I had the pleasure of interviewing him last year. We have a conference called New TV Live. And he came out, and he at the time was his 14-year-old kid from Nebraska. And, you know, just a really genuine kid, which is kind of the antithesis of what his video is, which is honestly just the most grating thing you're ever going to hear.
You used the word genuine. So let me first of all ask this question. How genuine is Fred's voice in the clip we're about to hear? Is he sucking helium between takes, or is this really his voice?
That is, you know, that's just a trick of his iMovie program. And when you talk to him, it's a little disconcerting because he's got kind of a deeper voice when he's talking to Plane. And then you rev up a video and suddenly your eardrums are bleeding.
All right. This episode is called Fred Has Vocal Lessons.
Hi, it's Fred. And you'll never, ever, 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 ever guess what just happened. Oh, my darn it. Yesterday on the radio, they said that the vocal coach of Heidi Montag, have you heard her song? She has some true singing talent. So, yeah, her vocal coach is coming to my town, and she's going to teach one lucky kid vocal lessons. So, yeah, you're supposed to send in a video of you singing, so I sent in a video of me lip syncing, and they thought it was really me singing, and they picked me. Yeah! I mean, I know it wasn't really me singing, but just like my mom said about the social workers always trying to get into our house, what they don't know about our family won't hurt them at all. It really won't.
Oh, my God, Chris, you are absolutely right. That is the most grating thing. I mean, I didn't even realize how grating it was watching it, but divorced from the video, just hearing that voice.
I have to take my headphones off for a second.
That is getting close to, fingernails on a chalkboard.
What's funny is I was at a conference, an industry conference in L.A., in Hollywood, the National Association of Television Producers Conference, I think Expo or something, NATB. Anyway, they were the entire conference. People were trying to figure out how did Fred do it? What can they replicate? And I don't think there is a lesson to be learned from Fred other than you just never know what's going to hit. And I think that gets back to kind of Rick's point earlier where he's, you know, if you put it up there, people can find it. But, you know, Fred gets millions of plays per video. And he is a phenomenon unto himself. And he's just a kid who did it on his own in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yep. All right, Soundcheck listeners, we want you guys to get in on this debate. Do you think YouTube is mesmerizing or mediocre? Is it life-changing or life-wasting, and why? Do you have examples of things that you've watched on YouTube that you loved or hated? Have you ever posted a video on YouTube? You can give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 433-9692. Or leave a comment on the new sounds page of the Soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. Make sure you pick the right show. It's Soundcheck. And we actually talked to some people right here in our neighborhood downtown. Here is Tembi, who described herself as a black female writer in her 30s. She said that YouTube has the potential to embarrass a lot of people.
Things people didn't want ever to be viewed publicly are now up for everybody's consumption, and it kind of sucks.
But Al, who is a 50-year-old employee of a furniture store, has a different take.
I watch YouTube all the time. Music videos, how-tos, tutorials. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
So what do you think? Soundcheck page at WNYC.org, or join the chorus of phone calls coming in at 433-9692.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
For me, YouTube is more than music videos. It's footage of the Great Secretariat winning horse racing's Triple Crown, clips of old silent films, a passage that shows how to play a tricky chord sequence on the guitar. I love the fact that these are all there, and the fact that they're surrounded by a huge amount of crap doesn't bother me at all.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
Chris Albrecht, co-editor of newtv.com. It sounds like the piles of garbage that surround the little gems on YouTube is a problem for some people, possibly for you. Is that right?
Well, I don't know if I want to call it a problem. I think there are a couple things to that. And I'm hesitant to call it garbage because, you know, if somebody's out there shooting a video of themselves, you know, doing whatever silly, for that moment they're having a good time. So I'm not going to knock it on that. But, you know, you'll see that's why YouTube has moved to more professional content over the past few months because it's trying to monetize it, trying to monetize its business and turn it into an actual business. So you'll see that they're launching, you know, more, they're partnering with networks and putting up professional content. They just ran Ghostbusters in a big promotion a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, they are getting piled and piled of content, but even they are realizing, like, hey, we got to make money out of this, so we need to start doing, adding some stuff for the pros in there.
Let me throw out a quote to both of you guys from Virginia Heffernan in Sunday's New York Times on YouTube video. She writes, visually surprising, narratively opaque, forthrightly poetic. Rick, do you agree?
Yeah. No, totally. I think from my perspective, it's like, you know, the art of motion pictures and filmmaking is, you know, it's like something like 130 years old. And what this does is, like, YouTube and all these other video content sites is it levels the playing field. And, like, you know, with music and painting, which have been around for centuries, you can easily make a emotional connection or you don't. And with video content, like, it was always judged on the merits of budgets, especially in, like, hip-hop videos, which I'm specialized in. And so I think what this does is it creates, like, just a vessel for creative artists and directors to make art, you know, and to really just go out there and do it.
Chris?
Well, I'm not as loquacious as Ms. Heffernan, but I will probably distill it down to something like the Facts of Life theme song, which is where you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have. There are lots of interesting things to be found, and in your little piece in the interstitial there, you know, it's great that it's this vast repository of video clips. But one of the things that I wish that it would bring out in more people is more creativity and more originality. You know, as someone who watches this industry, you see something hit and then you see a bunch of people follow on.
Right.
And that's going to happen in any industry. But because it's so easy now to produce video and get it up, you just have to, you know, I just wish that people would go, instead of just creating spoofs of things, they would reach out and create something a bit more original.
The subject of this week's Soundcheck Smackdown debate is YouTube. And let's go to the phones and see which side of the fence our listeners are on. Suzala joins us from Garden City. Pro or con for YouTube?
I'm extremely pro. I think it's like any other tool. The TV is mostly garbage, but there is great stuff on it. The same is true for YouTube. About 3 months ago, I bought an ukulele, and there are Play It Forward tapes on YouTube. Tons of people there teaching great tutorials on how to play, how to strum, how to find more music, how to find a social network of ukulele players, and it's just been an enormous, great help for me.
So you've been able to learn the instrument through these tutorials that are on YouTube.
Exactly.
All right. Let's see what Leonard in Brooklyn has to say. Leonard, are you also pro-YouTube?
I am indeed.
Why?
I have to say that, first of all, as the previous caller stated, as much garbage is out there, you know, the internet itself is full of trashy websites. It's not worth dismissing on the basis of its lowest parts. The high parts of YouTube are that there is a democratizing aspect. It means that a response to something, however low budget, can get out there, finally. A painter makes a work in his studio. Chances are no one will ever see it. Someone makes a piece on YouTube, let's say a parody, as he said. It gives them a chance to attack and criticize other people's work in a public discourse.
Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing if you haven't seen the original work that's being parodied? Or, you know, to go to Chris's point,
will come up, and the original will have more hits on it.
Right. But what about Chris's point where something comes up and people like it, and then suddenly you have this wave of imitators, and, you know, the original can sort of get lost?
It's never been my experience, though. Whenever I surf on YouTube, the original version of a video will have 10, 20, 100 times more hits than any parody to it.
All right. Leonard joining us in Brooklyn, and we've got a lot of people who are on the pro side of this debate calling us. Let's check in the control room where our producer Joel Meyer has been moderating the comments on the Soundcheck page and see if there are any dissenting voices. Joel?
Well, John, David from Staten Island would disagree with that last caller. He votes mediocre on the subject of YouTube. He says, Sheryl Crow will still get lots of views, and Joe Smith will still get very few views. It's not democratic or some sort of equalizer. It creates the illusion of equality, just like the rest of the internet. A comment from a listener who calls themselves illegit addresses the quality issue. This person writes, if you were to upload an HD, meaning a high-definition video, the sound quality of the original file is better, so it is technically possible to upload very nice-looking and sounding material to YouTube and share it in a very convenient format. And Brian from Inwood is our uniter and not a divider. He posts, internet video is both mesmerizing and mediocre. What's not to love?
I like the idea of a YouTube that accommodates high-definition sound and high-definition video. Chris, has that been a problem, the sort of lowering of production standards on YouTube?
You know, I don't think as much anymore. You know, back when it first started, people didn't have access to the same amount of equipment. So anymore, you know, YouTube does enable HD viewing now. So you can upload really high, they've got both high quality and HD viewing. And as companies like Flip roll out the, you know, their line of portable HD cameras that really just fit in your pocket and you can shoot anywhere, the quality, I think, has become less of an issue. I think there is one thing. I was interviewing Marshall Herskovitz, who did a show called Quarter Life online, and it was a successful, a famous kind of flame out and failure online. But what he said is that a lot of people nowadays have the tools to just go out and start shooting things, which is great on one end. But on the other side, he said, you know, but people don't ever take the time to learn their craft anymore. So people are kind of jumping in and creating all this stuff, but maybe they aren't taking the time to figure out, okay, what's the best way for editing a piece down or tightening up a script or any of those kinds of things.
Well, here's an interesting comment from Marie, who writes, what is YouTube? Some of us have managed to avoid the useless distractions thrown at us daily, but still hip enough to listen to John. All right, Marie. What is YouTube? It's more than a video sharing site. It now, Rick, has become the sort of the ground in which a full symphony orchestra has grown up. Did you hear about this YouTube orchestra earlier this year?
No.
They took 96 musicians out of 3,000 music videos that were submitted. Michael Tilson Thomas, the noted conductor, was one of the judges of this. 29 countries were represented. The orchestra came together through a series of rehearsals at Carnegie Hall in April and then performed live this music written by the noted Chinese-American composer Tan Dun, called appropriately Internet Symphony No. 1. Internet Symphony No. 1, which was premiered in Carnegie Hall by the YouTube Orchestra, created online through the video sharing site known as YouTube. Rick Cordero, it started for you as a place to put videos. Mm-hmm. Now it's become, you know, the home for an orchestra. Have we reached the end of what YouTube can be?
No, it's just the beginning, definitely. And, you know, and just
so it can be an even more monumental distraction, to quote from Marie.
Yeah, you know, but I think you'll also find, you know, kids practicing their craft, you know, because they have an outlet to practice it.
Chris Albrecht, the co-editor of NewTV.com, has been with us on the line from San Francisco. Chris, thank you for being with us for this week's Soundcheck Smackdown debate.
Thank you both. I had a great time.
Thanks, Chris.
Rick's going to stay with me because he was the judge in our YouTube-based music video contest, and Rick will unveil the winner for us in just a moment. And we're also going to have a chance to hear a live performance by this band, The Fiery Furnaces, of this song, which was the basis for our music video contest. All of that is coming up next on Soundcheck.
I'm on my own. You said to yourself, darling, luck woe is me.